It seems like every week offers a different twist to the 2024 campaign. Some predicted moments and some not. The upcoming weeks are no different, with the Republican presidential candidate facing the possibility of immediately being thrown into jail, and the Democratic candidate facing the same situation that took out her predecessor. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is Perspective. On September 10th, in the city of Brotherly Love, a debate between the Republican and Democrat candidates will occur. And while future debates are speculation, none have been confirmed. Maybe because on September 18th, the Republican nominee is set to appear for sentencing by New York Judge Manchin, which could take the presidential candidate off the campaign trail and into a jail cell. And while Democrats consider this to be in their favor, their past predictions have turned out to be some of their most extensive failures and have resulted in the current change of their candidate. How will the following two known significant events in the 2024 campaign transpire? Well, let's bring in our panel and let's ask them our questions. We have Bjorn Handeen, strategist of McShane LLC, political consultants, Lionel, attorney and media analyst, and Larry Ward, chairman of Constitutional Rights PAC. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on, I think it's going to be probably two of the most historical events, whether you're talking about the sentencing or the debate. I want to start off with you, Lionel, on this, because you've kind of been covering this for us in our questioning. What do you think the sentence will be for President Trump? And do you think the judge, Merchan, will throw him in jail immediately, especially in what's rumored to be a place like Rikers Island?
No, it'll be at best a suspended sentence of some form. He will not actually be physically placed into custodial custody, which is redundant. Rikers Island, no, there's no way. Not to mention, from a logistics point of view, he having the Secret Service, it doesn't really work that way. But Judge Merchan would want to do that. If there was any way he could do that, he would. But what they probably will do is they'll do some type of either a suspended, theoretically some type of quote probation. But what I predict is that they will sentence him, if you will, on the prior contempt citations, if you will. And that could be anything from, believe it or not, showing up to a kind of a timeout, like a detention. I know it may sound crazy, but something that would allow him to quote, satisfy the sentence. But he will not spend a day locked up with the metal cup saying screw, you know, with a number. And final word is, if they do, if through some crazy machination, hand him the presidency, he's won.
Well, that is interesting because I do want to look at that perspective because, Larry, let's just imagine, even though Lionel says it's not going to happen, and normally Lionel's been pretty correct, but I can't put anything past Judge Merchan, I'll be honest with you. He's done some things that I've literally scratched my head, both legally as well as from a PR standpoint. But if President Trump is somehow sent to jail, how do you think Trump supporters will respond? And do you think this is that gaslighting event that Democrats are hoping for?
Well, they will respond exactly how you think they will respond. He will have the greatest fundraising 2 months in history. They will show up at the polls. They will show up to work the polls. There will be the biggest outcry. And more importantly, the Democrats will lose the joy that they've so hard worked to build this perception that Kamala Harris's joy. They will all of a sudden start looking like tyrants, the tyrants that they are. But look, I agree with what was just said. The Democrats have exactly what they want. They have the convict label that she is going to use over and over again over the next 2 months, where they say he is a convicted convict, and they're just going to completely drum that particular issue to death. And look, Trump is going to win on appeal. This was a complete farce of a case. There was actually no crime committed. They convicted him on absolutely nothing. This is a complete political prosecution. But they're not going to go as far as to lock him up because that would just be insane. And again, the campaign has changed. This isn't the Joe Biden campaign. This is the Kamala feel-good campaign. And you can't be the feel-good candidate if you're locking away your political opponents.
Okay, but so I've got Larry and Lionel on one side. Bjorn, do you agree with him that you will not see a sentence come down from the judge that will put Trump behind the jail cells? And if it does, it will have the exact same effect as every other ruling this judge has, which is record fundraising and record support for the former president.
Well, you have to remember what the original plan was. And the original plan seems to have been to knock him off of out of the nomination, right? You had, in fact, a lot of neocon Republicans that were doing their best to try to grease those wheels. So it didn't work. I think jailing might be indeed plan B. And then it's on.
Well, and that's interesting, Bjorn. So I do like the fact that we call this perspective. Everybody has a perspective on it. Bjorn, I'm not going to lie to you. I have several in my world who actually think you're correct. And I have talked to Secret Service agents. They do have a plan in place if he is thrown in jail, which makes me think maybe they think this is coming down. If that happens, do you think that the public will react? Is this kind of like that gaslighting event that we know Democrats are hoping he will get, sort of like a J6 response from his supporters, who will obviously be very upset this is even happening?
They've been laying the groundwork for this. All across the world, there's been a chilling effect on political self-expression. People are being jailed for nothing other than exercising the right to comment on these happenings. So, yeah, they're preparing for an outrage and an outcry, and we'll see if they've been preparing enough.
Lionel, I have to ask you from a legal perspective, because I keep scratching my head how we were even able to get this far. You would think that somehow that anybody with any good legal expertise that was surrounded by Trump could have gotten this thrown out based on lack of evidence, all sorts of things. Do you think his legal team has actually served him justice in all of these court proceedings?
No, not at all. But that being said, that's like saying, how did your legal team do in a kangaroo court? I want you to if ever you want to win a bet, walk into any courtroom or any legal bar, offer them $1,000 to any lawyer, judge, law clerk, and say, here's $1,000 if you can explain to me the legal basis by which Trump was convicted of the 34 cases. Nobody, and Scotty, I've known you for a long time, I'm not exaggerating. Right. We don't know what this is. The other ones we do. They're very simple. You know, documents and lying. E. Jean Carroll, got it. This one, we're not sure about. Now, let me also say something, that Trump lives in a different inertial world. His parallel universe doesn't apply to us. If you and I were to be arrested, we'd be either let go or cases dropped, or we'd be set into prison. His works differently. He also is the worst defendant ever. The worst. They tell him, I would have told him, don't mention E. Jean Carroll's name one time. Nothing would drive her more crazy, or that Dusty Saddles or whatever her name is, these trollops. Don't mention their names. And he can't. He can't. He has some kind of a weird kind of a reaction. So that being said, but understand what he's doing right now. He is doing something which is, believe it or not, driving the Democrats crazy, because they can't kill him.
Right.
He's like this thing that keeps popping up again, and it's not whack-a-mole. It's this zombie, this Dracula, that it just keeps coming back and coming back. And he's like Saturday Night Live, the thing that wouldn't leave. He's beautiful.
But that's the thing, Lionel. I don't know if it drives the Democrats more angry, or, as Bjorn pointed out, the neocons within the Republican Party right now that are being just as dangerous as they were back in 2016. And they're doing probably more of an aggressive counter-Trump move than anyone else. But, you know, you have to wonder, and this, Larry, I want to ask you this, because how does this affect those that are not so politically involved, that are just kind of watching from the outside? They're the ones that consider themselves to be independent or moderate on both the Republicans and Democrats. How do you think they're viewing all of these proceedings and the result of what this judge brings down?
Well, you know, the Democrats are going to view this as, hey, let's lock them up. Let's lock up everybody who voted for Trump. I mean, that's really what they think. You know, Dan Bongino often says that, we think that the other side, you know, has bad ideas, and they think we're bad people. You know, that's really what's going on. So the left is really wants us all locked up and really wants to throw away the key. You know, if they do throw Trump in prison, it will be another it will be a constant assassination attempt, quite frankly. And that will be the method that they'll do it. They'll lock him up and maybe the prison guard will fall asleep and he'll hang himself, you know, like Jeffrey Epstein did, and they'll pretend that the cameras were off again. You know, so that's really, you know, would be the play if they did lock him up and they would finish the job there. But I still don't think that that's going to happen. I do think they think they've got a close enough where they can get away with a midnight truckload of mail-in ballots to, you know, give them the victory. And that's the hand I think they're going to play.
Well, it's interesting.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I love that Lionel's excited about it because I think your answer was the same. You know, but it's going to be interesting, though, to also talk about the security that would go on. You're right. We wouldn't want to see him Epstein himself and the speculation that would go around it. But, Bjorn, real quick, I've got to ask you this. You know, President Trump is sentenced to jail. Do you think, whether his team is inept or not, that they should seek an immediate stay by the Supreme Court? And should the Supreme Court even involve itself if asked to do so?
Well, if something doesn't happen, we are facing the end of this consensual government, right? There's going to be, at some point, reprisal prosecutions in red states. I can imagine places where I live in Idaho, they'll blow off a Vincent Bugliosi book and start prosecuting anybody involved in the Iraq War. There's no end to this. Once you go down this road, there's just no end.
Bjorn, Lionel, Larry, I want you to stay right there because after the break, we are going to discuss the other major upcoming event on the campaign trail. That would be the debate between Donald J. Trump and Kamala Harris. What is it going to look like? And can President Trump actually emerge from it without being painted as a chauvinist or a racist by the mainstream media? On September 10th, former President Donald Trump and current Vice President Kamala Harris will face off in a televised debate. The date, which was initially chosen for a discussion between Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden, was controversial, as each political campaign had its wish list regarding how the debate should be handled. And those wishes changed once Kamala Harris became the leader of the Democrat ticket. Wishes that were not granted, and the same rules of the debate, which most say was the public downfall of Joe Biden's reelection campaign, are going to be enforced. But will this debate be different from the one in June because of the new person at the Democratic podium? And do you think Kamala Harris wishes Trump's sentencing was before the September 10th debate? Well, I want to bring back in our panel. Bjorn Handeen, strategist, McShane LLC, political consultant, Lionel, attorney and media analyst, Larry Ward, chairman of Constitutional Rights PAC. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, so I'm going to start with you, Larry, on this one, because do you think President Trump will learn from Tulsi Gabbard, who is doing his preparations, how the destruction of Vice President Harris was in 2020, and take some of those lessons?
100%. Look, it's a completely different scenario. She's running for president. She's running against Trump, who they're going to call, no matter what he says, a chauvinist and a racist. There's no way to get around that. But Trump should take the approach he had both with Hillary Clinton and with, you know, Joe Biden in the last debate, where he was somewhat dismissive of them. He let Hillary speak. He let Joe Biden speak. And with Joe Biden, he was actually a little less combative because they turned off his mic. Actually, I think it was the greatest thing that CNN could have done for President Trump was to let Joe Biden speak. And they should let Kamala speak. She's going to talk herself into circles. And then just look at her a little dismissively and say, I don't even think she knows what she just said. The same thing that he said to Biden. And just make it about, not only is she incompetent, but she's a phony. That's the word he has to continue to use. I wish that was the nickname he gave her, was phony Kamala Harris. Yeah, she's a commie, but she's also phony and she's a fake. And you saw it with that fake, foghorn leghorn accent in Detroit this weekend. So, I mean, that's a tactic I think Trump should take.
Okay, so Lionel, I'm going to ask you, and maybe you, hopefully you'll be completely honest, because normally you never hold anything back. What is Donald Trump's Achilles heel that Kamala Harris is going to try to aim for, that if she brings it up, you're going to go, oh, no. What is that subject? What is it? What can she do to him that's going to get him thrown off?
Nothing. Nothing. To ignore him. Here would be my advice to him, and he wouldn't be listening. Number one, as we say in West Tampa, que mala, which is what she is. How bad. She is a dream come true. And if he misses this opportunity, Scotty, for not being rude, not being chauvinistic, to annihilate her. Because I would say, Mr. President, you have one goal and one goal. Tomorrow, I want everybody in the blogosphere, everybody in the social media world to ask one question. Did you see that? He has to ask two questions. Forced, I don't care if it comes up. Number one, look at her and bark. Do you believe that Israel is committing genocide right now in Gaza? What? And they're going to say, wait a minute, that's not what we agreed to. And he turns around and says, let me tell you something. When you're president, you don't get to tell Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin what you agreed to. And number two, do you think it's okay for a man to take a woman into a boxing ring, beat the hell out of her, and we give him a gold medal? Do you think there's a difference between men and women? Yes or no? Answer the question. Now, I promise you, she will become unglued, and it will cause George Stephanopoulos or whoever the hell it is to come to her debate. And the next day, people will say, if you thought June 27th was good with Biden, you ain't seen nothing yet. We live in a brutal world of trolling and annihilation. No gentlemanly nothing. Make this historic.
Well, it's interesting. It's actually Lindsey Graham supposedly is still going to be the mentor of the same woman who compared Trump to be of the KKK during the DNC. But she's the fair and balanced moderator that ABC is going to go with. I guess we should be lucky it's not Donna Brazile, and that hopefully the questions we kept from her. You know, Bjorn, speaking of that, do you agree with Lionel? Do you think President Trump can actually focus on policy, or will he go for the personal attacks? Because that's what's actually the headlines, and Trump has learned to use those for his advantage.
I think Lionel is quite correct that if Trump focuses on policy, then he will outshine Kamala. She cannot focus on policy. Her voting base is a coalition of the fringes, and they all have different and separate interests on the issues. And if she spends too much time, she must have a don't touch list a mile long. She can't talk about all those things that Lionel said. She can't even talk about fracking. definitely not any kind of foreign policy, coherent view on foreign policy. If Trump can outclass her on the issues, I think he's got this.
Well, and it'll be different, though, because I've got to ask you on this, Larry, because will he debate Vice President Harris differently than he did President Biden? And will he do it differently from how he did Hillary Clinton? If so, how does Trump avoid looking, first of all, like a not like a chauvinist or a racist individual? You said it's already predetermined no matter what he does. He could just get up there and breathe, and he's going to get those labels put on him.
100%. I mean, look, he doesn't have to worry about that. As a matter of fact, I would put that as far out of his mindset as possible and have him just stick to the issues, stick to Kamala's weaknesses. You know, look at her in the eye and say, look, you say you're for the people. What have you done for the black people? What have you done for the young people? What have you done for the Hispanic people? And separate Kamala Harris from her base and actually, you know, point out that unemployment was the lowest it's ever been in the African-American community under Trump. But it's soared under Biden-Harris. You know, point out how the border has really affected the Hispanic community, particularly the immigrants who are being trafficked into the United States. You know, point out how the young people are dying from fentanyl overdoses because you've agreed to let millions and millions and millions of people come over without any oversight, and fentanyl is pouring across the border into these gangs, with these gangs. So that's what I would focus on, and I would separate her from her base.
Well, there's one thing about the focus of the person you're debating. The other focus is actually of the moderator themselves. Lionel kind of touched on this. But Bjorn, I've got to ask you, do you think the moderators will focus on trying to destroy President Trump and help Vice President Harris, as most conservatives believe?
Oh, there's no question about that. That's just we consider the media is part of the same war party that that the Democrats and half the Republicans are in. Donald Trump is threat number one to that, to their agenda. Trump is entering enemy territory, and he knows it.
And he's definitely welcome to it. So I've got to ask you, Lionel, on this one, because what will Vice President Harris focus on as it pertains to President Trump? We've asked what he could say to get him off, but what actually should she be focusing on if she wants to come out of this with a win?
Well, she can't do it. She's got to get away from this logorrhea, this word salad, this emotional incontinence. But I want you to understand something. The reason why I think it's important to talk about issues, tough issues like Israel, whatever, is not to take a position one way or the other. But right now, the Democratic Party is fractured by this. You've got factions. You've got the Bernie Sanders and the Bernie Bros, and you've got the AOC crowd, and you've got the squad, and you've got a lot of people who are absolutely adamant against this our foreign policy leadership, which, by the way, the Democratic Party's many factions believe to be identical to the Republicans, to force her to take us a stand. And second of all, the number one issue, I can go into any group, any population, any demographic, black, white, gay, straight, I don't care who it is. The number one where everybody will agree with you is to say, what is this nonsense about men and women being the same? Where did we ever lose? We could talk about policy and immigration. We could talk about war. But did you ever think, ladies and gentlemen, that we'd be arguing or you would be seeing potential Supreme Court nominees asking, is there a difference between men and women? That is the issue that everybody says, you know what? That's my favorite. Let's don't worry about issues that are too particular. You've got a few minutes to remember to go in and to devastate her and annihilate her and make her turn to her Democratic stronghold to say, guess what? I'm a Democratic version of a neocon. I'm a sock puppet. I don't have any position. You got me. He found me out. I don't know what I'm talking about. Whoever pays me, whoever props me up, whatever accent you want, I'll do it. I'm artificial. I'm synthetic. I'm Kamala.
Okay, so I'm playing with fire here because I know if I ever had to go into a debate, I'd have Lionel be my trainer on this one because I know he'd hit the hardest punches. I've always thought to stay away from anything that has to do with gender when you have Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. I feel like you're setting Kamala up for her one-liners, her meme lines, like, look, I'm equal to you. I'm on the stage. We're both aiming for the same office. There is no difference between the two of us. Larry?
You're equal to me?
Well, we're both on the same stage. I just feel like you're opening the can of worms. So we'll see how that plays out because I'm worried how that he would actually handle that. Larry, on this side of it, when you're looking for the debate tonight, what is the debate in the few weeks, what is going to be the topic that you think will be the one that potentially could separate the two and make people go, yeah, I'm changing my vote? Is there one?
I think most people are locked into who they're going to vote for. We're talking about the independents, and really, it's going to be, and you could be right, Lionel. It could be the gender issue. It absolutely could be just the performance, because the performance does matter. And if Kamala comes out and she's a very good prosecutor and tries to prosecute her case, and Trump is a little bit off, people are going to run and say, hey, Harris looks good. And I think the bar is very low, like it was for Biden, for a lot of people to say Kamala looks good. But I actually don't think she's capable. I think she's going to have a lot of word salads. She's going to have a lot of circular logic, and it's going to implode on her. That's my opinion.
Bjorn, last word to you. Is this going to be a lot of memes that come out of Kamala Harris's mouth no matter what? I mean, they said her interview on CNN was fantastic, and I think that they were watching a different 20 minutes than I saw. Do you have anything else except memes coming out of her for that night?
That's all she's got, right? It's like she's got appeal to those emotional triggers for her to her low IQ voters, right? She's going to be her main job is to paint Trump as weird. Mm-hmm. That's what she's got is she's going to paint herself as joyful and Trump as weird. And it's not going to be about policy. It's going to be simply about emotions.
Well, if she wants to do that, I would not have her laugh at anything. I want to thank you, Bjorn Handeen, Lionel, and Larry Ward. Definitely three men who are far from being weird. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks.
You know, Democrats, who often decry leaders of other countries throwing their political opponents into jail, seem to oddly be silent when it is happening in their own country. But did you know this is not the first time in American history that a political party in power has jailed its opponents? Back in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Presidential Proclamation of 94, which suspended the writ of habeas corpus during the Civil War. Now, Abraham Lincoln was known as the Great Emancipator, but not many know he actually jailed as many as 2,000 political opponents without any charges or trial. Speed forward, June 1918, as World War I was coming to a close. President Woodrow Wilson charged Eugene Debs, the Socialist Party of America's presidential candidate, with 10 counts of sedition. Now, he was eventually found guilty of incitement and obstruction and sentenced to 10 years in prison. And all of this was because Debs delivered a scathing anti-war speech that essentially condemned the draft. This was not the only example of Woodrow Wilson jailing his political opponents. But this is not the past. And while political antics are familiar, the people's reactions are unpredictable. This is where a well-informed, calm electorate is needed. And while judgments and sentencing are essential, public response is crucial. Democrats are counting on a response reminiscent of J6 to help engage and inspire the anyone but Trump vote to the polls. Republicans need to remember this. And while it will be tempting to try to engage voters out of anger, when you are fighting a political and media system that has no shame in putting a candidate who has never received a single vote in an election as president, there is no boundaries or conscience to what actions they will take in order to achieve victory. But hey, that's just my perspective. You can find me on X at Scotty N. Hughes, and let me know your perspective by using the hashtag perspective. See you next time.